Okay, today's daf is Babasu Daf Chaf Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by the Langer family, by Avi and Rachi Langer, Lezecha Nishmas, Avi's grandfather of Tzvi ben Rav Avram, the Neshama, should have an aliyah, and we thank him very much for the sponsorship. We are holding on the top of Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph at the very top line. We're going to start. We were talking about competing in business, bringing someone in from the outside or someone coming in from the outside and opening up a competing store to an already existing store. So the Gemara is going to tell us two stories about people who came from other towns and started to set up shop, and under what circumstances that's permissible, under what circumstances that is prohibited. Then the Gemara is going to tell the story of Rav Ada Bar Ava's death. Rav Ada Bar Ava, there was a number of circumstances surrounding his death where many different Amoraim took, whether you call it credit or blame, for his demise. And we're going to see why each one felt that they were somewhat responsible for his demise. And the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about how far you have to build a wall away from your neighbor's existing wall or from your neighbor's existing windows. The Gemara is going to give a possible distinction with that halacha between a kosel gina versus a kosel chatzer. One may be assumed to be more sturdy than the other, and also we're going to distinguish between ir chadasha and ir yeshana, because a city that's been settled in for a long time, the ground is already pretty solid, is already pretty strong, whereas a newer city, the ground is not as strong. The Gemara is also going to talk about how far one has to distance a wall from his neighbor's gutter so that his neighbor will be able to be mamid asulam, to set up a ladder in order to be able to clean out his gutters. And then if we get to it, the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about preventing immediate damage, even if it's only damage al yedei grama, but you have to see to it that you are not causing any immediate, imminent damage to your friend, even if it's somewhat indirect. So let's begin at the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. We had just said the notion of kinasof from Tar B'Chachma, that other people are allowed to come up and set up a yeshiva to teach young children Torah, because it's always better to have competition when it comes to yeshivos, and that way each one will be motivated to do a better job, and that ultimately is the best thing for the Jewish people. Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the mother of Huna Breder of Yeshua Baruch Huna Machzirin Bayaros Delo Matzim Akev. Another business where we allow people from the outside to come in and we don't stop them is Rochlin Machzirin Bayaros. People who are sellers of perfumes and women's cosmetics that go from door to door, and they go from town to town to sell their products. We don't stop them. Why not? Domer Mar Ezra Tikin Am Yisrael. This was a Takaras Ezra, that we should always have cosmetic salesmen going around from one place to the other, so that women will always have the availability of these items, and therefore it's in the best interest of Klal Yisrael that these items are always available, so these Rochlin can come from wherever and set up shop. But no, not to set up shop, only to go around from place to place, avlak vue lo, but to actually set up a kavua place from where they sell, that's like opening up a store, that they're not allowed to do. But the tzur merabanan hu afilak vue nami. But if the person is a tzur merabanan, he's a talmud chacham, then he can even be koveya himself. Now the Gemara is going to tell a couple of stories, but before we get to that, this idea of rochlim going around to sell from one place to another, l'chora, the reason he can't set up shop is because once he sets up shop, that's like a store that he's setting up in the city, and he's not allowed to do that because he's not from that city. The Bir Agra in Choshe Mishpat Kuf Nun Vav quotes from the Ma'arik that it means that he doesn't have the right to decide to live in the city. Meaning, Ma'arik quotes a machlokas rishonim. A guy wants to open up a store in a city. He does not yet live in that city, but he says, no problem, I will live in the city. I'm going to move here, and then I'm going to open up a store, and I'll pay taxes like everybody else. Can the Bnei Yair say, no, you know what, we already have that kind of store. We don't want you moving here and opening up your own store. So the Ma'arik writes that it's a machlokas rishonim, that shitas Rashi and shitas HaRambam is that yicholim la'akev. The people from the town can say, you cannot move here and open up a store. You can move here, you just can't open up a store just because you've moved here. Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by the Gos Hashri, holds that no, they cannot stop him. They can only stop someone, an outsider, from coming in. But if he decides he wants to be an insider, he wants to be one of the Bnei Yair, So then he's allowed to do that, and that's fine. The Marik understood the Shitas Rashi and the Rambam that when the Gemara says Avlakvue lo, it means they're not allowed to be Koveya Dira, not just Koveya a store. They're not allowed to be Koveya Dira in the town. That's the Machlokas Rishonim. So says the Gemara, Ki Hada Rava, just like the story of Rava, Sharulu Rabbi Yoshia Ul Rabbi Ovadia Laakvue De Lo Kilchusa. He allowed Rav Oshia and Rav Vadia to set up in a more permanent fashion De Lo Kilchusa, against what the normal halacha is. As Rashi points out, what does De Lo Kilchusa mean? Ela Lefnim Mishura Sadin. So ask the Beis Yosef, what do you mean Lefnim Mishura Sadin? That's you're costing other people. You know, it's one thing to say Lefnim Mishura Sadin in Ben Adam Lamakom, or even Ben Adam Lechavero, where it's just you doing a chesed to somebody else. You're going to do Lefnim Mishura Sadin. Let him open up another store. And what about the guy that already has an existing store? It's not Lefnim Mishura Sadin to him. What gives him the right to do such a thing? So the Beis Yosef says that since the whole din of the Yisr Leiri Luminaso Shel Chavero, the whole din of competition in business is only a din midrabanan, but minatora, it's mutter, because you're not actually taking anything from them. So for Tzur Mirabanan, Hitiru, they were makel for Tzur Mirabanan. The Ritva explains Deloki Hilchsa doesn't mean that it was against the halacha. Deloki Hilchsa means against what the halacha would normally be, but built into the halacha is this din of Tzur Mirabanan, is that a Tzur Mirabanan is allowed to do this. So Deloki Hilchsa means it's against what the halacha would be had it not been a Tzur Mirabanan, what the halacha would be if it was a regular guy. My taima, what's the reason that he allowed it? Kibin de Rabbanan inu asu litzudu migir sayu. Since they are Rabbanan, we're afraid it's going to stop them, it's going to cost them time from their learning, and in order to encourage them to have more, or in order to enable them to have more time to learn, we want to make sure that they're able to make a parnasa fairly easily. Hanu di kula'i, the Gemara tells us another story. There are these basket sellers, da'isu di kula'i le'bavel, that brought baskets to Bavel. Asu b'nei maso, kama'ak v'yilavayu. The people from the town tried to stop them. You can't sell your baskets here. You don't live here. So, asu l'kamei de Ravina, they went to Ravina. Amalu me alma asu, uli alma lizbenu. So Ravina said, you know what? They come from out of town. Good, so let them sell to people who come from out of town to buy. V'hani mili b'yom d'shuka. But that's only on the Yom HaShuk. Alva below Yom HaDushuka lo. But if it's not on the Yom HaShuk, Yom HaShuk is the day that people come from all over the place in order to do business, in order to do buying and selling. So good, on the Yom HaShuk, let them sell, because that's when they'll be selling to people from out of town. But if it's not on the Yom HaShuk, then they can't be doing business. So Yom HaDushuka nami lo aminan el lezvune b'shuka v'laduri lo. And even on the Yom HaShuk, they can only actually sell in the Shuk. Rashi writes that in the Yom HaShuk, people come from Ayaros Acheros to buy, and therefore the Bnei Ayir cannot stop them from selling because they're selling to people from another city. So says the Prishon, Choshemishvatzim Kufnun Vav, sounds from Rashi that they're only allowed to sell to outsiders, but they're not allowed to sell even in the Shuk, they're not allowed to sell to Anshei Ayir, that they have to, you know, ask for identification or something, and look at the address on the driver's license, and see if these people are locals or if they're outsiders, and they're only allowed to sell from people who come from the outside. The Beis Yosef, however, disagrees. The Beis Yosef writes, no, in the Shuk it's mutter to sell to whoever, since the whole idea is that he's not primarily selling to the Bnei Ya'ir, so that's not called that he's Yorid Lum Naso Shel Bnei Ya'ir. And Beis Yosef writes, that's what it sounds like from the Rambam in the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Shcheinim, where the Rambam writes that it's only if Sheyimkaru Bash Bishuk Velo Yachzer Al Apsachim Afilu Biyom HaShuk, that's only if they sell in the Shuk and don't go around, meaning that's the Ikar distinction about where they're selling, not to whom they are selling. So that is the Shitas HaRambam. Tosus writes that this is not only true of a halacha of selling, but Jews for many, many years were primarily in the business of money lending. So if they're lending money, beribis, to Goyim, so that too, the locals, you would think, have the rights to corner the market on the money lending industry. So that's part of the parnasa of the Bnei Ya'ir. But if there's a Yom HaShuk where people come from the outside, so the people who are coming traveling through town are they're also allowed to lend the money. However, Tosfos says it's only, they're only allowed to loan money to people who are actually outsiders. So says the Prisha, yeah, Tosfos says that they're not allowed to lend money to people from that town. That's dafka by lending money. But when it comes to mechira, when it comes to selling, they could sell to whoever they want in the shuk, according to Tosfos. I mean, Tosfos, you know, although Tosfos compares the din of selling to the din of money lending, that you're only allowed to do it be yom hashuk, but the details of the din, Tosfos understands as being different from each other. When it comes to selling, so you could sell to whoever is in the shuk, even if they happen to be b'nei ha'ir. When it comes to money lending, no, only to the people who live in that city. Why the difference? So the Prisha explains that a halva'a, when you lend money, the primary profit that you get is after the yom hashuk, because it's the more time that goes by, the more money that you're making. That's how ribis works. So the profit is not really on the yom hashuk. So that's why we only allow you to lend money to people who are not mi b'nei ha'ir. But by a mecher, all of the profit that you're getting is right then and there. It's in the shuk. So since it's in the shuk, you could even sell to b'nei ha'ir. Says the Gemara another story. Hanu amurai, there were wool salesmen, daisu amrula from Nahara, that brought wool to Pum Nahara, name of a town. Asu b'nei masa kamakvi elavayu. So the people of the town said, you can't be selling wool over here. Asu kamed Rav Kahana. So they went to Rav Kahana, amrulu dinahu d'ma'akvi elaychu. And Rav Kahana said, they are correct, that they have every right to try to stop you from selling wool over here. Amrulei islan ashra'i. So they said islan ashra'i. So Rashi explains ashra'i b'masa. Rashi says macharnu ba'amana, which means we've sold on credit and people owe us money. So we can't leave because there are still people that owe us money until we collect all of our chovos. We can't leave. And if we can't leave, we're stuck here. What, we're supposed to just not do any business for the next few weeks or months or however long it takes us to collect all of our chavos? That's not fair. How are we going to be able to live if we don't do any business? So that was their taina, that it's fine. You tell us that you don't want us doing business here, but it's a little late. We've been doing business here and people owe us money and we can't just close up shop. So amalu zilu zavnu shir chiyusaychu ada akrisu ashray didchu vazlisu. So he said, sure, no problem. Here's what you do. So you could open up shop for as long as it takes to make your bare sustenance, and then you close up each day. That you could. That's how much you're allowed. So this way they'll be motivated to want to move on, to want to get out of town quickly. They're not going to provide too much competition because they're only going to be making their bare sustenance. And that way it gives them a little bit of time, though, to be able to collect the chavos that the people owe them. Rav Dimi min Arda, I see grogros besfina. Rav Dimi min Arda brought grogros on a boat to sell. Amale Reish Kalusa the Rava, so the Reish Kalusa told Rava, you have to go check this guy out, see if he's a Tzur Merabanan, and if he is, then give him a spot in the market so that he'll be able to sell. Rashi says, what does it mean? That they should make an announcement that only he is allowed to sell grogros, meaning this is the kind of advantage that a Tzur Merabanan has in business. So the Rimi Gash says, you see from here that a Tzur Merabanan that has a schara to sell, the Bnei Ha'ir have to announce that he's the only one that's allowed to sell, and if they don't make such an announcement, they get punished, because we're going to see that Rav Dimi said that the reason Rav Ada in the end of this story is punished is because he didn't take care of Rav Dimi. He should have taken care of him and announced that he's the only one who's allowed to sell over here. The Rimi Gash just points out that that's only if he's not selling for more expensive price than the rest of the people in the city. But if he's selling for a more expensive price, then the Bnei Ha'ir can worry about the overall benefit to the customers, and they do not give an advantage to the Tzur Merabanan if the Tzur Merabanan wants to sell for a more expensive price. Why does the Tzur Merabanan get an advantage that he gets to open up shop? So the Rush says, well, we already said before that we don't want to be mevatel the Yersayu, the same reason that we said before that you're allowed to have the Tzur Merabanan comes from the outside. He's even allowed to be kovea a shop, the literally do Yersayu, that they shouldn't have to cost them time from the learning, schlepping around. So same thing over here, we don't want to cost them time from the learning, so we let them sell out whatever they have, so that as soon as they sell it out, they'll be able to sit and learn. However, the Meiri writes, it's not about Litzudumi Gersayu, it's about our obligation of Kavod HaTorah, that one of the the dinim of kavod that we have to show. It's a Talmid Chacham. You stand for a Talmid Chacham. You do whatever you can for a Talmid. So one of the things is that you let him sell before anybody else. And the Tshuva Sarama in Simin Yud, in Yisod HaSheni, he writes that it's similar to what the Gemara says in Nedarim, that a Talmid Chacham is notel chelek barosh, that a Talmid Chacham gets first. So just like he's notel chelek barosh, he gets to be mocher barosh. He gets to sell first. So that's part of the dinim of a Talmud Chacham. But it's interesting that the Rimi Gash has this emphasis on the price point, that the price makes a difference. We said before on when it's not the Yom HaDashuk, people from the outside are not allowed to come and sell. So the Rimi Gash writes that that's only that a person from the outside is not allowed to sell because he's mazik the people who are selling in the city. That's only if he's selling at the same price as the people in the city. But if someone comes from the outside and is selling at a cheaper price, then he's allowed to sell even when it's not Yom HaDashuk, because we're worried about the Tovas B'nei Ha'ir, that ultimately what's best for the community is that the price gets driven down, and the Chachamim are not going to make a takana for the Bala Chanuyos, for the few storekeepers, at the expense of the entire community. So if someone is willing to come in and sell at a cheaper price, Adraba, let him come in and sell at a cheaper price, and it will be better for the larger community. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says this is the very issue of being Yorid Lumnosor Shel Chavero. You're not allowed to violate an Isser just for the Tovas Halokim. It says the Mishnah B'Metziyah Daf Samach, that you're not allowed to be Poches Mishar Shebashuk, because what's going to happen if you come in with these unbelievable sales, with these cheaper prices? Everyone's going to start frequenting your store, your shop, and then you'll raise the prices once the other guy's out of business. And that seems to be the way people conduct their business often, is they start with these incredible sales, people come, and then puts the other guy out of business, and once the other guy's out of business, then they raise the price as much as they want. So the Ramban says this is not, it doesn't even work out as a tova for the Bnei Ya'ir. This is the din of a Yoridum Nasr Shal Chavero, that one is not allowed to do this. So the story was Rav Zim Min Arda had all of these grogros, and Reish Kalusa said, go check, Reish Kalusa asked Rava to check him out, see if he's really a Talmud Chacham, if we should give him the advantages that are given to a Talmud Chacham. So Rava didn't go himself. Instead, Amalei Rava l'Rav Ada Bar Abba. Rava told Rav Ada Bar Abba, "Pok toyve bekankane. Go smell his wine barrels," meaning see if he's got wine or vinegar, which is a way of saying see if he's really a Talmud Chacham or not. Go check out if he's a Talmud Chacham. So Nafak Azul Baymine. So he went and he decided he was going to give him a bechina. So the shayla he decided to ask him was the following. Pil Shabala Kfifa Mitzvahs. If an elephant swallows a basket, a reed basket, Vihikia Derech Besaray, and then it defecates that basket, Mahu, what is the halachic status of that basket? So, Lo Hava Biyadei. He didn't know. Rav Dimi Min Arda had come to town to sell some grogros. They're asking him about elephants defecating baskets. He has no idea. He has no answer to the question. Amalei, so he said, Rav Dimi Min Arda says to the Bochein, the person who's giving him the Bechina, Rav Ad Bar Abba, he says, Marni you Rava? Are you Rava? I heard there's a big Talmud Chacham here, Rava. You're asking me these detailed Taurus questions. I assume you must be Rava. So Tafakle Besandale, he sort of, reacts in a humiliating kind of way, tapping on his shoes. Rash says, he called Sandala B'makal, takes a stick and taps on his shoes, Derech Schok, like you do to someone who's not Chashev. It's like Ki'ilu, he's pinching his cheek or patting him on the head or something like that. Amrle Ben Didi, Rava Ikatuva. Listen, Yingla, between me and there's a big difference between me and Rava. I'm nowhere near what Rava is. Miu al karcha chana rabcha. But one thing I do know is that I'm much greater in Torah than you, because I asked you a shayla and you had no clue. V'Rava Rabba de Rabcha. And therefore, the distance between what you are and what Rava is even greater. Rava is the Rabba de Rabcha. So lo natzale shuka. So they didn't give him. He failed the bechina. They didn't give him the Yom HaShuk. Pasid grogros today, and his grogros all spoiled because he couldn't sell them. Asal kamed Rav Yosef, so he came to Rav Yosef Rav Dimi came to Rav Yosef. Amalei Chazimar, my Avduli. Look at the disrespectful way that they treated me. Amalei Mandel Shailu Nisa Demalka Deadom Lo Neshailu Nisech. The one who wouldn't tolerate the humiliation that Moav caused the Melech Edom is not going to tolerate your humiliation either, and is going to stand up for you. Dechsev Koamar Hashem. Pasuk says about after what Moav did to Edom. Koamar Hashem Al Shoshu Pishim Moav Al Arba Lo Ashivenu Al Sarfu Atzmos Melech Edom L'Sid. That because they humiliated the Melech Edom, so they're going to get punished. It's the Marsha wonders of all the examples of someone humiliating someone else and HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing up for their honor. Why Dafka this example? He says because this is an example of an individual. It was the Melech Edom. It wasn't a community. And you have this great Kal V'chomer, because who is the Melech Edom? We're not even talking about Jewish people over here. And yet for an individual who's not even a Jew, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands up for their Bizayon. So don't worry, Hashem is not going to tolerate the bizyonos that were just caused to you. And sure enough, noch nafshei Rav Ada bar Abba. Rav Ada bar Abba died. Rav Yosef amar ano anishte da ano latyase. Rav Yosef says, I think this one is my fault, because he came to Rav Yosef and Rav Yosef said, just like God punished those who humiliated the Melech Edom, God is going to get this guy also. So it seems pretty direct. He says, I'm the one that punished him, but that caused this terrible his death. Now each Amora is going to say, no, I'm the one. Tosus points out, ano anishte kolecha me'anayim esonin shal yado meis ravada mishum darmin mishal. This was a cause of grave concern for them. If they were the ones that caused the demise of Rav Ada, the Gemara tells us that in Shabbos, that anyone who another person is punished because of you, so then you're not going to go into Mechitzaso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what they were very worried about. So they realized they were trying to, these were expressions of the need to do tshuva, because they felt that it was their fault. Rav Dimi Minarda says, you know what? Ano anishte, dafsu grogros didi. I'm the one that caused the problem because of what he did to me. He was punished because of what he did to me, because he caused my grogros to go bad. Abai Amar ano anishte. I'm the one that caused him to die, and nothing to do with your story. It was a totally different episode. Damarlo the Rabbanan adamagramisu garmi be abaye su ichlu bisra shmeina be rava, because he used to advise all the Talmidim who used to come to my shir that instead of coming and eating dry bones by me, they should go have delicious succulent meat by Rava. Meaning they used to say, oh, you're learning by Abaye? Boring. You know, it's like, you go to Rava, he's an exciting Magid Shir, that's where you'll get enjoyable Torah. So, Mistama, because he said these terrible things about me, and he siphoned the Talmidim off of my shir and sent them off to Rava's shir, that's probably why he got punished. Rava Amar, ano anishte. Apparently he ruffled more than a few feathers, and it's like Rava says, I'm the one that caused his demise. Because when he would go to the butcher to buy some meat, he would tell the butcher, hey, I get to go before Rava's messenger, because I'm a greater Talmud Chacham than him. So that humiliation that he caused Rava, the disrespect he showed Rava, that was his downfall. Rav Nachum Yitzchak Amar, ano anishte. Rav Nachum Yitzchak says, no, it's my fault, a totally unrelated episode. Rav Nachum Yitzchak Reish Kalahava. Rav Nachum Yitzchak was one who was in charge of saying the shir on the days that they would have a public shir. Kol yoma mikami dineo lekalo marit bada Rav Ada bar Abba. Rav Ada bar Abba was the one who he would go over the shir with the Shemite. He would go over the shir with Rav Ada bar Abba before saying it in public. Vadraya lekala, and then Rav Nachum Yitzchak would go to the shir and say the shir. Hahu yoma naktur Rav Papa Rav Huna Brady Rav Yeshua la Rav Ada bar Abba mishum dlava b'siyuma. But that day Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brady Rav Yeshua held back Rav Ada bar Abba because he wasn't there on the last day they were learning Maseches Bechoros, so he wanted to catch him up on what the learning was. So Amrulei, Emel and Hani Shmeitzed Demaisa Beim Hechi Amrinu Rava, or they weren't there. So they said to Rav Ada bar Abba, tell us, what did Rava say about Maisa Behema? Tell me what he had to say. So Amrulu, Hachi Amarava, Vahachi Amarava. So he started giving them all the Torah that Rava had said. So it took a while till he was catching them up on the shir. Adahachi Nagalei Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, and as he's busy catching up his friends on the shir, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak is waiting for him and is unable to go over what he wants to say at the Kala, because Rav Ad Barav is not there. So Amalei Rabban Rav Nachum Yitzchak, Kum, De Nagalon, Lama Yosef Mar. The Talmid Chacham said to Rav Nachum Yitzchak, no, it's time to say the shir already. Everyone's waiting, and you're delayed already. You have to come start the shir. Amalei Yosef Nava Kamintar La Arsid Rav Ad Barav. He said, well, if Rav Ad Barav didn't show up, I have to sit here and wait for his coffin to come, because Mustama, he's dead if he didn't show up, because he's very reliable, he always showed up, so Mustama, he's dead. And just pumped then, they heard that Rav Ad Barav died. So it's most Mustava Rav Nachum Yitzchak is one that caused him to be punished. No one else so directly said he is dead. You had that he should, that Hashem should stand up for you, and you had that he insulted different people in different ways, but no one actually said it as directly as that, and therefore it's most mistaver that Rav Nachum Yitzchak was correct, that he's the one that caused his death. But how did this whole story start? You had Rav Dimi Min Arda coming and visiting, and the bechina that he gave him was if an elephant eats a basket and then expels that basket, what the halacha is. What does that mean, what the halacha is? What halacha of what? So these are detailed laws of Tumah and Tahara. And there is a halacha that clay galalim are not considered to be chashuv enough to be makabel Tumah. So is this considered clay galalim? Meaning this was a kli that was a regular reed basket, which certainly has a din of Kabbalah's Tumah, like a regular kli, but now that it's been digested and expelled by an elephant, maybe it no longer has the status of a kli, of a regular kli, because now maybe it has the status of klei galalim. That's the pashtos of what the shaila was about. There is a parallel sugya to this, however, Maseches Menachos on Daf Samach Tes. And if you look at that sugya, it seems that that shaila is not a shaila at all, because the halacha is, the Mishnah in Kelim tells us, Kala kelim yardu de kabbalas tuma, the sheyardu de kabbalas tuma ein olam mitumasam el al yidei shinoi maisa. That once a kli is already makabel tuma, the only way to take away its status of kabbalas tuma is shinoi maisa. Something has to actually be done to the kli. But machshava alone doesn't change the status of a kli. So the kfifa mitzris that already had a din of a kli and is makabel tuma doesn't lose its status of being makabel tuma just because an elephant ate it and expelled it. So the Gemara says that must have not been the suffix. The suffix is the following unbelievable case. The elephant did not swallow a basket. The elephant swallowed a bunch of reeds. And then, miraculously, when the elephant defecated, it came out as a basket. That was the shaila. Is this a reed basket or is this a clay galalim? It is interesting that that in our Gemara it doesn't really say explicitly that that was the shaila that was asked him, but it must have been the Rishon to point out. That must have been the shaila that it's Machlokas Rishon, which shaila he asked him. If you learn that he asked him the first shaila, so then you understand why they didn't give him the Yom HaDashuk. You know, they didn't give him the ability to set up a store. He didn't know something that the Gemara said was obvious. It was a Ferish Mishnah in the 25th Parak of Kalim, so he didn't know something that was obvious, so that's why they didn't want to give him the ability to set up shop. But if the shaila that they asked him was really the shaila that the Gemara said is a real shaila, well, guess what? The Gemara doesn't have an answer for that shaila either. Well, then why didn't they give him the Yom HaDashuk? I mean, you understand why he didn't have an answer then, because no one had an answer. But then why didn't they give him the Yom HaDashuk? So they suggest, those we showed him that learned that way, suggest that they didn't give him the Yom HaDashuk because he didn't even play ball with them a little bit. Like normally when there's a shaila that you can't answer, at least you bring a raya from here, a raya from there. Yeah, at least get involved in it. I don't know. Just say I don't know. That's not enough. You have to show that you're able to converse on the topic. And that's why they assumed that he wasn't a worthy Talmud Chacham, because he wasn't even able to converse on the topic. Okay, says the Mishnah, new Mishnah. Misha yikosel samut kosel chaveru. If someone had a wall near his friend's wall, lo yismach lo kosel acher elim ken yirchim men. You're not allowed to put up another wall unless you keep it 4 amos away. And the reason for that is that you need to leave space for people to walk near your friend's existing wall, because as people are dash bekarka, as they trample on the ground becomes hardened and it solidifies the wall. But if you build another wall right near his wall, there's not going to be people aren't going to be able to pass through, and it's therefore not going to harden up the ground enough. So achalonos bein milamalan bein milamatan bein mikenegdan arba amos. The halach is, if your friend has a window and you want to build a wall across from his window, you have to make sure your wall either goes up more than 4 amos higher than his windows, or more than 4 amos, it ends more than 4 amos below his windows, and that it's more than 4 amos up away from his windows off to the sides, so that it not darken his house. So the milamalim and the matan, so that you not be able to look inside and invade his privacy, and mikenegdo, so that it not darken his house. V'kama hechi samach. Ask the Gemara, the first halach of the Mishnah. You had a wall next to your friend's wall, so you're not allowed to replace that wall unless you're 4 amos away. So it sounds like the first wall was within 4 amos. Well, how are you allowed to put another wall? How are you allowed to put that first wall in the first place? Tosfos says, Salkadaitach de Benafal Ayri. We're assuming, the assumption the Gemara is making when it asks this question, is that there's a fallen wall. Shekein Mashmalashim Dekanani Misha Haya. You had, past tense, a wall near your friend's wall. That wall has fallen. Now you're trying to replace it. Make sure you replace it by staying 4 amos away. So I'm review the Hachika Amar. What the Mishnah means to say is as follows: Haba lismoch, lo yismoch. If you want to be somech a wall, not that you're replacing an old wall, if you want to be somech a wall near your friend's wall, make sure you keep it dalet amos way. But this is talking about, as Rashi points out at the top, mitchila kosel etzel kosel chavero. It's the very initial construction of your wall. You never had a wall previously. Says the Gemara, maskev l'rava v'ha mi shahaya koslo samuch lekoslo chaveiro katani. But that's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says someone who already had a wall near his friend's wall. Ella amarava hachi katani. Mi shahaya koslo samuch lekoslo chaveiro berochok arba amos. If you had a wall near your friend's wall, but it was 4 amos away, meaning you had kept the proper distance that you're supposed to keep, v'nafal, and then it fell down, lo yismach lo kosel acher, elam ken yirchim menu dal ramos. You're not allowed to build another wall unless it's 4 amos away. My taima, didavsha dahacha mali lahasam. The trampling on the ground that happens near the wall is good for the wall. You put it within dal ramos of his existing wall, that trampling is not going to happen. So it's because of the davsha, the trampling that goes on. So that's why you have to leave 4 amos. Now the Rishonim are bothered by the following kasha. Does this guy that has the existing wall, does he own this land or does he not own this land? Meaning, why, if you're a neighbor to someone's wall, do you have to give up 4 amos of your own land so that you could strengthen his wall, so that the ground will be stronger and you can strengthen his wall? He didn't buy this land from you, so why could he limit what you're allowed to do in this land just so that his wall will be a stronger wall? So Tosfos in Dibra Maslo V'Kama explains that it's Midin Mazik, that just like everything else, it's all by all Dinei Niske Shcheinim, the whole Perek, just like Lo Yismoch Gefes Liad Kosel Chavero, because the Chom of the Gefes is going to be Mekalkel the Kosel. What, does he own your Chatzar so that you can't use hot things in your Chatzar? No, but you're not allowed to put things that are Mazik. So if you put a Kosel near Kosel Chavero, his Kosel is going to fall down, you're going to be Mazik his Kosel. So that's that. It's our Chakas Nezikin. The Ketzos just points out that L'chara, it's a big Tzarechin on Tosos, because why is this the second guy considered a Mazik? He's not being Mazik anything. He's taking away any shimush that he's making in his chatzar for the chizuk of the wall. Why is his friend allowed to be mishamish in the chatzar and not him? Meaning, it doesn't. It's one thing when you're directly damaging. He's not damaging. He's just taking away the ability to improve the strength of the wall. So that's somewhat problematic. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes from Shlomo ben Avram in Ahar that the Mishnah is talking about where he actually bought the rights from the Melech. He bought that karka from the Melech. And if you buy from the Melech owns all the land. So when you buy that karka, you're accepting, you get from the Melech, you receive from the Melech, the zechus to have a strong wall there as well. So therefore he is legally entitled to stop you from those Dalet Amos. Rabbi Yonah himself says that the Balakosel was already machzik for Gimel Shanin in that area. To be mechazik his kosel, he already has a chazaka of Gimel Shanin. So okay, so something, you have to say something, that there's some reason that he's able to stop you from building another wall within those Dalet Amos. Amar Rav, lo shanu elo kosel gina. But all this is only true if it's a wall of a garden. Aval kosel chatzer in baldus mechzomech. But if it's a kosel of a chatzer, you can go as close as you want. Why? What's the difference between kosel gina and a kosel chatzer? Kosel gina, no one's walking on the other side of the wall because there are vegetables planted there. Kosel chatzer, in a chatzer, that's what you do. People walk around in the chatzer. So at least the other side of the wall is going to be strengthened from the other side. So therefore, by a kosel chatzer, we're not as makbit to make sure that you have both sides. They have this side. People have the ability to trample on this side as well. Raboshi amar echad kosel gina vechad kosel chatzer im baldismoch enosomach. Raboshi says it doesn't make a difference. Kosel gina, kosel chatzer, you have to stay 4 amos away. It happens to be that these two Amoraim are not arguing. Habi ir yeshana, habi ir chadasha. It depends whether it's a new city or an old city. A new city, we assume the ground has not yet been hardened, and therefore even a kosel chatzer still needs more work. So that's where we say that even a kosel chatzer, you have to be marchik dalet amos. But if it's near Yeshana, where the ground has already been hardened from years and years of people living here and walking here, so then in a kosel chatzer, we're going to be mekel, and we're going to let you build another wall very close to your friend's wall. How do we define what's called chadash and what's called yashan? Doesn't say beferish in the Gemara what's called chadash and what's called yashan, and predictably it's a machlokas rishonim. The Rashba writes, since it doesn't say in the Gemara, so it's totally lefi Re'ias Beis Din. Beis Din has to determine what they consider chadash and yashan. Mordechai says no, there's another sugya about this. There's a sugya Maseches Ksubos and Daf Chaf and Beis about tuma shenishtakcha, where there was tuma that was forgotten or lost, and at what point do you assume the mounds in the city are tamei because there must be bodies buried under there? So the Gemara says that an ir chadasha is 60 years old, within 60 years of the building of the city. And if the people don't know about the tumah in the mounds, then you could assume that it's tahar. But in your yeshana, then we can't be metahar because people aren't around to remember it. So that's got to be it. It's got to be 60 years. The Rama actually paskins that way. The Rama paskins that 60 years is the definition of an ir chadasha in this context. Tanan, hachalonos, we said in our Mishnah, hachalonos, ben milman, ben milmatan, ben milkenegdan, arba amos. Now, if you want to build a wall across from your neighbor's windows, either more than 4 amos above it, more than 4 amos below it, or more than 4 amos and more than 4 amos away from it. V'tani Allah milamalan kadesh lo yatzitz v'yira. The reason that milamalan is because you want to make it that a person shouldn't be able to look down into his neighbor's window. Milamatan, the reason you want to have more than 4 amos below, kadesh lo yamod v'yira. You don't want to be able to have someone stand on the wall and be able to peer into his neighbor's window. Umikenegdan, and the reason it's got to be across from it, 4 amos shelo yafil, not to take away light from the reason people had windows was so that they can get natural light in their homes. So you don't want to take away his light, you don't want to darken it. Time is shelo yafil, avim mishum dav shelo. Ooh, but that makes it sound like the only reason you need to be marchik dalet amos is that you're not dark in his house. But it's not about hardening the ground. So says Gemara, no, hachem askinan bebamin atzad. Over here, we're not talking about where you're building a wall parallel to your friend's wall. In a chinami, if you're building parallel to your friend's wall, you need the dalet amos anyway, mishum davsha. Over here we're talking about you're building it perpendicular to your friend's wall. So it's not going to cost the davsha anyway. There's still plenty of space where people will be able to walk. Yeah, but in terms of darkening his window, that's where you have to stay 4 amos away. The kama, Amar of Yevchamuda Ashin Bar Nadvach Mishmei Rav Kimelo Rachav Chalon. How far away do you have to stay not to darken his window? So it doesn't say four amos. The width of a window. Valometzit. But then you're going to be able to look inside. Amrazud b'madiris kosala. No, we're assuming that you made the top of your wall slanted so that you're never going to be able to stand on your wall, and therefore there's no hezek ri'iyah concern that someone's going to be able to look inside. Yeah, but still, the Mishnah said Dalet Amos, so how could you just come and say the width of a window? So lo kasha, kan mi ruchachas, kan mi shtei ruchos. It depends if you have in one direction or two directions. If you have walls on two sides, so then you need to distance much further than if you have only on one side where it's not blocking as much light. Tashma v'sakoslam and amaschila Dalet Amos, k'deshi zokif v'sasulam. We're going to learn in the next Mishnah that you have to keep a wall away from your friend's gutter for Amos, so that at least he should be able to lean up his ladder against his gutter to clean it out. Time of Mishum Sulam, it's only because you have to give him space for his ladder, Avam Mishum Dav Shalom, but apparently the space that he could trample on, that people could trample on, is not a concern for us. So Hachamayaskin Rimaskilim Mishupa'as, Dimishum Dav Shahu, Hakaazil Vasi to say. Over here we're talking about where the roof has an overhang beyond where the wall goes. So there's plenty of space under the roof. We're next to the wall where people are able to walk, but you still need to leave extra 4 amos from beyond the end of the roof so that the person will be able to clean out his gutters. And Bez Hashem, that mission about the gutters we'll get to tomorrow here on the bottom of Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis.